The question was asked, how are we to understand the rabbinic prohibition of taking medication on Shabbat, obviously when there's no danger or a person isn't that ill that they'd be bedridden, but there are many instances where a person would like to take the medication. He's not bedridden, but he would feel better with it. So Chazal said, no, don't take medication on Shabbat. And we know the logic behind it was because their medication was all made by using a pistol and a mortar, by grinding it, pulverizing it, which is the biblical prohibition of tochein. So how come today, where in the average home you won't even find a pistol and a mortar, you know, people aren't grinding their medications, how come today we have that same rabbinic prohibition? I would go even further. If today you have to take an aspirin or any medication, I'm saying if today you would have any type of pill, I shouldn't say any medication, any type of pill that you're prescribed, then you're allowed to grind it on Shabbat because all of our pills are pre-ground. They're ground and then they form them into the shape of a pill. So that means today, any pill that you would grind is not only not prohibited, it's permitted, because ein tchina achar tchina. Once something was ground once, even if you formed it into a shape, like we take the powder and make it into the shape of a pill, well, regrinding it is not asur at all. So just like if you had sugar that congealed in the box, you could break it back down and there's no problem of tochein, because once it was ground once, regrinding it doesn't constitute grinding on Shabbat. So why is it that we are still prohibited to take medications when it's not under those circumstances, when a person has not been bedridden? So the logic goes as follows. When the rabbis make a prohibition, it's like a legal system. There's an institution. And we can't always say, or often we cannot say, I know the logic behind that institution. If today it's not relevant, then the institution is gone. That's something we usually cannot do, and there are numerous reasons for it. Number one is you would need a court of that magnitude to undo an institution. Meaning if I had a court the size of, or the magnitude of the rabbis in the days of the Talmud who made this prohibition, then technically I could undo a prohibition. But once the rabbis instituted a rabbinic prohibition, so then the general assumption is, I need a court of that magnitude in order to undo what the previous court had done. We don't have that. There are instances where the rabbis defined their institution by the reason. There are two types of rabbinic prohibitions. There's a rabbinic prohibition where the rabbi said, forbidden, and then they gave me the reason. And then there's a rabbinic prohibition where the rabbi said, here's the reason, and that's why it's forbidden. Those are two types of prohibitions. So when the rabbis instituted a second day Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, they said, second day is rabbinic institution, you must do it. Then the rabbis went searching, hey, wait a second, why did the court ever say that? And then they came up with the explanation of there will come a time when Jews will be in Russia and wherever they are in the world, they will not have access to the Jewish courts, and they will not be able to be on top of the calendar to know on our lunar calendar, which is 29 and a half days, which month was 29 and which month was 30. You're going to keep a two-day Yom Tov so that people keep Yom Tov as they should. So the reasoning was given separately from the institution. The same is true in this rabbinic prohibition. The rabbis made a decree, no taking medicine on Shabbos. You ask why? I'll tell you why. Because we're concerned, everyone is using a pistol and a mortar, and by the way, the argument that we're making now, that you don't use it, is not a real argument. Because when we view things like this, we view them internationally, not just in our little Israel and then maybe most of the United States. Go to South America, people are still pulverizing their medicines with a pistol and a mortar. You go to Africa, people are still pulverizing their medicine, and in a large part of Europe, people are still using the same thing. And today, even in Western civilization, more and more, people are looking for plants to be able to do it. So just because we have this window in world history and this little location that's not, no longer using it, doesn't undo the rabbinic institution. But I'm saying, even if we'd reach a point in world history where the whole world stopped doing it, well, there's a difference between how the rabbis instituted it. There are two ways they can do it. Sometimes they say, this is the reasoning, and if the reasoning changes, then undo my institution. And sometimes they say, no, we've made an institution. You want to undo us? You can do it. Just convene a court that's large enough to undo what we've done. And if we don't have that ability, we don't have that ability.